I am no stranger to grace.
Kill that one, brother. Amen. I'm glad I'm acquainted with God's mercy. I'm glad I'm acquainted with God's love. Hallelujah. Ain't that good? Amen. Sometimes we get so focused on what's wrong in our lives, we forget about what's right and what's good. Amen. Let's take your Bibles this morning. Turn with me to Mark chapter number 1, second book in your New Testament, Mark chapter number 1. And probably won't be the normal Sunday morning message, so that serves you right for laying out on Sunday nights, amen? So we're going to get you while you're here. So maybe we'll preach the Sunday morning message tonight, all right? Amen. Mark chapter number 1, I want to try and be a help and a blessing to you this morning. And I want to start looking at verse number 16. The Bible said, are y'all there? Say amen.
Amen.
The Bible said, now as he walked by the Sea of Galilee, talking about the Lord Jesus, he saw Simon and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were, say the word with me,
fishers.
And Jesus said unto them, come ye after me, and I will make you to become, say it again,
fishers
of men. In other words, he said, you're still going to fish, but you're changing species. Amen. You're still going to go after something. You're still going to have to cast a net, so to speak. You're still going to have to work. You're still going to have to go, but I just want to change your catch. Amen. They were fishers, but now they are becoming fishers of men. In other words, now stay with me just for a minute. We'll get to the thought this morning. There was a change taking place in their lives. We're living in a time in America when the key phrase or the key word of our society is change. I don't care whether you're an Obama supporter or a Osama supporter. It don't matter. They all hollering about change. Change, change, change. There is a great change taking place in these guys' lives. Amen. I got a flyer in the mail the other day. There's a new church starting in Villarica. Before you saw the name of the church, before you even saw what kind of church it is, big headlines across the top. Change. Then under it, in smaller letters, it said, not church as usual. There's some things that need changing. But there's some things that need left alone. Amen. I don't want to get off on a hobby horse or a soapbox this morning, but there's some things don't need bothering with. Amen. I like that song, Give Me That Old Time Religion. Amen. I still like a preacher who'll open a King James Bible and preach a devil out of me every now and then. Amen. I still like a preacher that'll put on a tie, put on a suit. I still like a pulpit. Amen. Amen. Be a cold day in the booger man's house when I sit up here on a bar stool in a turtleneck. Amen. And give you something likening to a Dr. Phil show. There's some things that don't need changing. There ain't nothing wrong with that hymn book we sang out of this morning. Amen. Everybody talking about change. What needs to change is not our Bible. What needs to change is not our standards or our song. What needs to change is our heart. Amen. He said there's fixing to be a big change in your life. You know what people want now? They want salvation without repentance. They want to know in their heart that their soul will live forever and ever and ever in a place called heaven. But they don't want that to affect their life in any way. That's why we have all these schisms and isms and all these different factions. Every kind of church you can imagine. You know what's big in Texas? Cowboy church. That's what they call it. Cowboy church. Oh, yeah. Preacher preaches in a Stetson. Oh, yeah. And I think that's pretty cool. I do. I like that, man. John Wayne Church. That's pretty good, man. But all they do is sing cowboy songs, and the preacher preaches about cowboys. What is he doing? Trying to appeal to their lifestyle. They're biker churches. Oh, yeah. Biker churches. I think that's pretty cool, too. I like motorcycles. Amen. But what they're doing is they're trying to make their religion fit their lifestyle. Instead of their lifestyle fitting their religion. Stay with me. The change that ought to take place in our lives after we're saved is us becoming more like Him. Instead of lowering Him to what we are. Are you okay this morning? He said, I'm fixing to bring about some change in your life. Now, we've got some new converts, people who hadn't been saved very long. Brother Jeremy, Miss Michelle, has your life changed since you came here? That's the idea. My little brother John's just been back in church for a short time. Has there been a change in your life since you got here? You see, that's the idea. Jesus hadn't changed, has he? When you walked away from Him all those years ago, He's still the same Jesus that you left. Jesus never changed. I said Jesus never changes. It's us who must change. Amen. Let me pick back up reading. I'm getting a little sidetracked here this morning. I'm just a little weary with all these people wanting to change God. Amen. You can do that about as quick as you can go out there and change the weather. Amen. The Bible said, verse number 18, and straightway they forsook their nets and followed Him. Now notice this thing. If you get saved, born again, you know you're going to heaven when you die. There's some things we ought to forsake. There's some things we ought to forsake. There's some things we ought to turn our backs on. There's some things we ought to walk away from. And some people, that's all they preach is don't. You can't do this. You can't do that. You can't go here. You can't go there. But He did not just say forsake. He said forsake and then follow. In other words, the Lord is not just taking things out of our life. He's putting something better to replace it. Amen. I like that. Our problems come when we start removing things in our life, and that's all we do. You know what that leaves? That leaves emptiness. Amen. So there are some things to forsake, but there's also someone to follow. Amen. He said they forsook their nets, and they followed Him. Verse 19, the Bible said, and when He had gone a little farther, thence He saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, who also were in the ship mending their nets. And straightway He called them. And they left their father Zebedee in the ship with the hired servants. Now watch this next statement. And went after Him. Jesus said, if any man come after me, let him take up his cross and follow me. Is that right? Did I quote that right or close enough? Got it pretty close anyway. If any man will come after me, He said, let him take up his cross and follow me. These boys went after Him. Amen. This morning I want to preach on this thought. Let's get after Him. Let's just get after Him. Do you know everybody is following somebody? Everybody is following someone or something, I guarantee. It wouldn't take me long just to spend a little time with you, and I could tell you, if not who you're following, what you're following. Amen. Some of you, I can be around you 5 minutes. I can even look at the clothes you wear, especially when you're not at church, and I can tell you the kind of music you listen to. We all right this morning? What are you saying? I notice in different states where I travel. And I've been in a whole bunch of them, especially during football season. I know the airplane took me to the right airport because of the colors the people are wearing when I get there. Are you listening? When you get to Syracuse, New York, everything is orange. And I'm like, I didn't even know y'all had a football team. When you get to Pittsburgh, everything is black and gold. You don't have to question where their loyalty is. Their colors show it. What are you saying, preacher? When you are truly following someone or something, your life will begin to reflect it.
Amen.
Amen. When you set somebody up as a role model or a hero in your life, then that's what it means to follow somebody, doesn't it? We want to be like them. Why in the world would Nike Tennis Shoe Company pay millions and millions of dollars for endorsements by people like Michael Jordan? He's probably made more money from wearing Nike tennis shoes in his career than he made from playing basketball. Allen Iverson. I mean, all these guys. They are endorsed, isn't that right, Brother Todd? They pay him to wear their brand. Why? Because people want to be like them.
Yeah.
And if Michael Jordan wears Nike tennis shoes, then, bless God, I'm going to wear Nike tennis shoes and maybe I can jump like he jumped. Forget it, bub. Somebody said you can be anything you want to be. No, you can't. Ain't nobody in here jump like Michael Jordan. If you can, I want to get to know you real good, be your real good friend. Because you got some bucks coming your way, amen? They pay them all this money. Some of the guys I used to fish with and against are making millions of dollars a year. To win one professional bass tournament, the prize money may be $100,000, but the top guys on the tour make over $500,000 a year just in endorsement. Why? Because somebody's following them. Somebody wants to be them. Does anybody want to be you? You ever thought about that? Does anybody want to be you? That's a tough question, isn't it? I know some of you are real arrogant and full of yourself, and you're going, yeah, sure, everybody wants to be like. I'll be honest with you. There's only one person in this church that I've ever had somebody approach me and say, I'd give anything if I could be just like him, and that's Charles Dyer. I've heard people say they wish they knew the Bible like Brother Freddie knows the Bible, but ain't nobody in their right mind wants to be like Brother Freddie. Amen. Don't nobody want to really be like me. You might want my job. Amen. But boy, what a compliment when somebody would say, if I could be like anybody I wanted to be like, or if I could be like anybody I could, I'm going to be like Charles Dyer. Wow.
Amen, brother.
Huh. You might ought to start wearing Nikes, brother. Amen. You ought to call Nike and see if they won't give you a couple $1,000,000 a year. Say, hey, people want to be me. Amen. Who wants to be like you? Do your children? Do your children? Are there things going on in your lives that your children say, when I grow up, I won't never do that, or I won't ever be like that? That's a sobering thought, isn't it? When we truly get after someone, we want to become who they are or what they are. Now listen, you won't never totally be like Jesus. Not as long as you're walking around in this body of flesh. You won't never really. Some think they are. Amen. By the way, do y'all know the difference between God and President Obama? Do y'all know the difference? God don't think he's Obama. Let that sink in real good. Some people get so high on their self that they think they are God's gift to creation. They are not God's gift. They have a gift, and that's the breath of life in their body. But none of us, none of us, none of us will ever be equal to Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen. Closest we'll ever come is when we get to heaven and we got a brand new body like he is. Amen. What a blessing. Let me give you some areas where there ought to be some things changing to become more like him in our lives. I want to ask you a serious question. Is there any area or any aspect of your life that you would truly say, in this or in this or in that, I am like Jesus. Now I want you to really, I told you it's not a Sunday morning message, it's Sunday night or Wednesday night kind of message. But is there any area of your life you could pinpoint and say, in this area, I know I've got problems, but in this area, I'm like Jesus. People wear those little bracelets, those little rubber. Whoever invented that got rich, man. What would Jesus do? WWJD. Some of you ought to take that mess off. Well, why don't you get quiet? Some of you are not aware of that because you have no desire to be like Him. You have no desire to walk the way He walks, to love the way He loves. You have no desire whatsoever. Take that off. Why? You're making Him look bad. Amen. Is there an area in your life where you'd say, in this, I'm like Jesus? None of us are going to become perfect overnight. Here's what Jesus said. I may never even get the message this morning. Here's what He said. He said, y'all are fishermen. But if you'll follow Me, I will make you fishers of men. Now I want you to get this real good. It's not in you to change. You don't have the power to change. But He said, if you will follow Me, I will change you. We've got too many women trying to change their husbands. Listen to me. We got women wanting to leave their husbands and divorce them for things they did the very day they were married. Problem is, maybe you got hold of God and God changed your life and His hadn't changed. You can't change Him, ma'am. Watch it get quiet. That ain't real popular, is it? You can't change Him, but I'll tell you somebody who can. His name's Jesus, amen? And maybe if you'll just be obedient and follow the Lord and let Him do the work, hey, He'll do a better job than you ever thought you could do. Amen. He said, if you'll follow Me, I will make you. Ephesians chapter number 2, I think we read it last Sunday, and I believe it's verse number 10. It talks about He that hath begun a good work in you will perform it. In other words, if He started it, if you'll just follow Him, He'll finish it. I like that little song, He's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. Took Him just a week to make the moon and the stars, the sun, the earth, and Jupiter and Mars. How loving and patient He must be. Why? Because He's still working on me. Amen. Do you know the only time He has ever stopped working on me? Could any of you be honest and say, there's been periods in my life where He wasn't working on me? You know why? You left the shop. Amen. Katie's truck is beginning to be an ongoing thing. Tore up again while I was gone. Three motors been in that truck. Don't ever let her drive your car. I mean, she's rough on a truck. But it tore up while she was gone. Pop went and picked her up. Pop said, I'll take care of it. I'll take the truck to the shop. Take it where? To the shop. If any work's going to be done, it's got to be carried to the right place. The only time Jesus ever stopped working on me or in me was when I stopped following Him. There was a condition on the change that was to be made, and that condition was to follow Him. If any man will come after Me. Amen. And they went after Him. Amen. He said, if you'll follow Me, I will make you fishers of men. Now let me give you some areas in our life that we ought to work on, or that we ought to ask God to work on. We ought to endeavor to be like Him in holiness. We ought to endeavor to be like Him in holiness. Did you know God is holy? Did you know you can do a little word study there on holiness, 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 and it refers to God every time. He is the only thing that is really, truly holy, and it is the Lord. The Bible said holy is the Lord. He is holy. Those cherubim that fly around the throne of heaven night and day, they cry, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. You say, why they say it three times? Holy God the Father, holy God the Son, and holy God the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Isn't that amazing that His Spirit's name is holy?
Yeah.
You got a spirit about you too. I wonder if it's holy. Wow. You don't hear much about holiness anymore. You don't hear many people talk about being holy. Used to, you couldn't buy a Bible that didn't say on the front of it, Holy Bible. And by the way, some of them Bibles they're printing Holy Bible on, that's a lie.
Amen.
Amen. Just a little side note. Do you know the average New Version Bible don't even have the word Calvary in it? Calvary's gone. Man, without Calvary, we're in trouble. Amen. Without Calvary, we're in trouble. We ought to endeavor in our lives to be holy like He's holy. Now, I'll be honest with you. Half the time, I'm an unholy mess. How about you?
Amen.
Amen. And I know, I'm not going to go home discouraged because of the wreck I am. I'm going to go home excited because of the wonder I can be if I'll just follow Him. Instead of getting all upset because of what you're not or where all you fall short, you ought to get all excited about what He can do if you'll just decide to follow Him again.
Amen.
Amen. Do you know what it means to follow the Lord? That's going to change where you're going. The only reason most of us don't want to follow Him is because we don't want to go in that direction. Amen. We okay? He was holy in His life. He was holy in His life. Not just when He was down at the temple. He was holy when He slept. He was holy when He ate. He was holy when He went fishing. His life was just holy. Now I pick on Brother Charles and I brag on him all the time and y'all think, man, he must be right up there next to the Pope. No, he's two or three rungs above that. He's saved. He's not just like this here at church. I done talked to too many people who worked on the job with him. Lady at the motel. I don't know. I was hoping she might be here this morning. Hotel lady, you here? Now, y'all don't get me wrong. I ain't been in a hotel with some woman. She works there. I went to pick up Brother Jenkins on Monday night for church, and he was staying up here at the hotel. And I took him over to White Oak, and the lady behind the counter said, I used to ride a bus to your church. I told y'all Wednesday night. You know, first person she talked about? Well, she said Brother J.M. was the pastor. And she said, is Charles Dyer still there? I said, yes, ma'am. She said, that's the sweetest man I ever known. She said, I used to work on the job with him. What a testimony. Jesus was holy in His life. He didn't just talk it. He walked it. He was holy. Or would you say in my life, the way I live, my manner of life, I'm like Jesus? No takers, huh? Me neither. Not only was He holy in His life, but He was holy in His love. You know what's wrong in America? We got too much unholy love. We got too much unholy love. Somebody said, preacher, I want to marry that girl. I fell in love with her the first time I saw her. No, you didn't. You don't even know her. You fell in lust about neck deep. There's a difference in godly love and fleshly desire. We are a desire-driven society, but when we get saved, we ought to have the love of God down deep in our heart. Amen. Our life ought to change to become more like Him, but our love ought to change to become more like His love. Boy, watch it get quiet on me. Most of the love that's talked about in society is not even love at all. Why? Because if it's not of God, it's not love. You all right? Boys, you better listen to me. You better not marry her just because she looks good. You better not marry him, girls, just because he looks good. Sister Stacy married Rusty because of his big barrel chest and his beautiful head of hair. Now his hair is gone, and so is his chest. His chest really didn't leave, it just changed locations. It's just about a foot and a half lower. You better make sure it's love. Because whatever it is that's attracting you can change. Looks can change. Desires can change. But the love of God will never, ever change. Amen. There ain't nothing wrong in your marriage, in your home, the love of God couldn't fix. Amen. There ain't nothing wrong in this country God's love couldn't fix. Amen. You know what Jesus said? How many of you love the Lord this morning? Be careful, it's a loaded question. He said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. He said in another place, if you love me, you'll follow me. I ain't got to keep on. Stray dogs used to follow me home all the time. They did, didn't they, Mom? Every time I used to go, I'd walk for miles to go fishing in the creek. I really would. And I'd come home with a stringer of fish and a dog. Old Billy Bone used to live down the dirt road from us about a mile or two, and he probably had 100 coon hounds. You know old Billy, don't you, Brother Jay? I can't never remember going fishing. One of them dogs didn't follow me home. Mama would pitch a fit. I'd say, but he followed me. I'd pick up a hay rope out of the pasture, tie it around its neck. That dog with its feet just like his, me dragging it all the way home. I said, come on, puppy, come on. And that dog's like, I don't want to go, I don't want to go, I don't want to go. That's the way most of us follow the Lord. You ever had one following you home? And you'd look every now and then to see if it was following. When it wasn't following, come here. Most boys in here know what I'm talking about. See, Jesus is not that way. He said, if you want to follow me, come on. If you don't, stay where you're at. If you want life to get better, come on. If you want the marriage better, come on. Come on, just follow me. If you don't, go ahead, sign the paper. Go ahead, divide up the assets. Go ahead, sir, kiss your kids goodbye. Well, boy, watch it get quiet. This couple right here, they weren't even living together when they came here. This couple right here was on the verge of divorce when they came here. What happened? Oh, this church fixed all their problems. No, it wasn't this church. It's the Jesus this church has followed. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. You know what happened? They got in church, they got their heart right, and they got their love right, and old Stacy looked at Rusty, and only love could live with that. She looked him up and down and said, despite your bald head, despite your big belly, despite your no job situation, I sure do love you. Amen. But when we stop following the Lord, that love will get cold. That love will get hard. I don't know why. I'm just getting stuck right here for some reason. That guy that's been flirting with you at work, ma'am, he don't love you. He likes the way you dress. He don't really love you. If he does, see if he'll pay your mortgage. I'm up here. Taking your bills. He don't love you. You think he loves you? Go to work just like you got out of bed. Go in there and say hello with that funky breath. Go ahead. Go ahead, blow it right in his face. Go in with your hair all matted together. No makeup. Amen.
Some religions don't believe in makeup. Thank God ours does. Amen. Kind of wish some of you guys would think about it. Amen. We ought to be like him in our manner of life. We ought to be like him in our love. You know what the Bible said? 1 John, we know we've passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. Half these churches that spend all our time fussing and fighting and feuding and then singing about how they love God, they're lying through their teeth. If we'll just love him, we'll love each other. Amen. Amen. If you'll love him, sir, you'll love your wife. Husbands, love your wife. Even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. Wow. What's that mean? He died for it. Amen. Would you die for it? What about Jeremy? God salvaged it. You better be ready to lay it down, boy. Amen. Amen. If one of us had to get hit by a train, I don't know. Church sure does need me. I'm kidding. I'd die for her in a heartbeat. We ought to endeavor to be like him in holiness. Holy in our life. Holy in our love. Now watch this. We ought to be holy in our labor. Everything Jesus did, he did for the right reason. His motives were right. Are your motives right? Why would God seek a position? Have you ever thought about that? He already had the highest seat there was. He was already the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He was already the Creator and the I Am. He was already everything that he ever said he was and much, much more. Why would he desire to have something else? His motives were right. You know why Jesus did everything he did? Because he loved us. For God so loved the world. Amen. He gave his own. No other reason. Amen. The only reason you got breath in your body this morning because he loves you. Yes. If he didn't love us, he wouldn't put up with people like me and Alan Parker. And that's not a joke. That's true. He sure wouldn't put up with Jay Bice. No. Amen. He loves us. Amen. Amen. His labor was holy. His labor was holy. Amen. Yes. When your labor's holy, you won't never quit it. Because you love it. Somebody said, "Preacher, why have you ever considered quitting?" Yeah, but I love it too much. Why do you preach so much? Why do you go all the time? Because I love it. I love it. Don't get me wrong. I love to hunt and fish. Preacher asked me up there in Pennsylvania this week, said, "How many deer did you kill this year?" And I used to be kind of, you know, known for killing more than my share. My motto, if it's brown, it's down. Kill them all, let God sort them out. Amen. Amen. Hey, if I could kill them all, I'd save some of you ladies some money your husband's spending. I said, "Be honest with you, I hung 2 deer stands, I put out a corn feeder." And that's illegal to hunt over it, but I wasn't hunting over it. Put a trail camera out, that takes their picture when they come by. As far as I know, all that's still behind Warren's house. Somebody may have stole my deer stand. I sat in it one time. Somebody said, "Why didn't you go anymore?" And you went, "That's busy preaching." Amen. "Don't you love to hunt?" "Yeah, but I love doing this more." Amen. "Don't you love to fish?" "Yeah, but I love doing this more." Amen. Yes. Do you love what you're doing? Do you love that bus route? Do you love that bus route? Yes. Let me tell you how you know. Man, I got a whole bunch more message right here, but I'm thinking to quit. You know how you know you love that bus route? You think about it an awful lot. Yes. Amen. You think about it. You know how I know I love bass fishing? Let me tell you how I know I love bass fishing. I get a magazine in the mail every month called the Bassmaster Magazine. "Brother Carlos, can I get a witness? You get it. You get it in the mail." "You don't get it in the mail? I thought you loved to fish." "Anybody else in here get it besides me?" "Yeah, there we go. I knew that Arkansas boy got it." There is not an issue of Bassmaster Magazine under my bed that I hadn't read from cover to cover. Not one. I have even caught myself, Brother Allen, wishing they would send more than one a month. Because I usually read that one the day I get it. I'd like for it to last. I catch myself going, "I'm not going to read it all tonight. I'm going to save something for tomorrow." That's a good sign you love something. Amen. Let me hold your Bible, see? You know, if you really love the Lord, you've probably read His book from cover to cover.
Yes,
amen.
That's right.
Amen.
That's right.
If you really love Him, you probably think, man, that's so good, I'm going to read that again.
Amen.
Amen. Yes. We ought to endeavor to be like Him in holiness. Holiness.
Yes.
Whew. I don't know about you, but that's one area of my life where it needs some work.
Yeah.
I'm talking about some very much attention. Amen. Right there in my life. Holiness. Wow. I'm not going to ask you how many of you would say that you're holy in your life, in your labor, or in your love. But I'm going to ask you how many people would say that about you. It doesn't matter what you think. Sir, what does your wife think? Are you all smiles and happy and just tickled to death to see everybody at church in a horse's rear end at home? Your wife knows you, Bubba. Would she say you're holy? Please do me a favor. I'll make a deal with you. I won't ask yours if you don't ask mine. And probably it wouldn't be a good idea if you ask your own, because it's going to start a fight. Now, honey, be honest. That's kind of like you telling her, have I gained weight? Be honest. No, 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 no. Does this dress make me look big? Ain't got nothing to do with a dress. Amen. No, 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 no. Don't. Some things you just might not ought to ask. Amen. But in your heart, you know what she thinks. Am I right? In your heart, you know what she thinks because she knows you. Ma'am, in your heart, you know what he thinks. I wonder how many times he bows his head and says, Lord, thank you for a godly wife. Wow. Thank you for a good mother. Thank you for the best spouse, the best mate, the best partner a man could ever dream. Wow. I got about 4 or 5 more points, but I'm fixing to let you go home. Y'all ain't handling number one too good. Number one was holy. Number two's humble. I know you're thinking, don't even go there. I'm not handling holy real well. Me either. I may give you the rest of it tonight. Let's stand to our feet this morning. So, preacher, you're usually more dynamic. Hard to be dynamic when you're peeling your own hide. Number three is honesty. Wow. Number four is honorable. Wow. Let's get after him.
Amen.
Preacher, you expect me just to all of a sudden just be holy? No. 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 Preacher, I don't know if I can quit this. I don't know if I can change that. I'm not asking you to quit anything. I'm not asking you to change anything. But if you'll make up your mind this morning to really, sincerely follow Him, you won't even have to try.
Amen.
He'll do it.
Amen.
He'll do it. I used to hear preachers say, and I'm done, Brother Todd, y'all come and see if you can get us a song. I used to hear preachers say all the time, my pastor said it, and he'll be here in a couple of weeks. He'd say, one of his famous sayings was, Brother Steve will remember, when I got saved, my cusser quit. You remember Brother Earl? He said that all the time. And I remember feeling so bad. Brother Jay, mine didn't. I'd wonder, am I really saved? I had to work on mine. I still thank them. I said, preacher, you shouldn't say that. Oh, yeah. I get Angie to write them down and I sign it. Amen. But you know what? I don't cuss no more. I'm truly kidding. I don't have a foul mouth no more. It just took some time. What are you saying, preacher? The more I followed him and the more I stayed after him, it just kind of gradually stopped. Amen. And if you'll just follow him, watch now. Now, it can't just be the husband following. And it can't just be the wife following. It's a team effort. But if you two will follow him together, that marriage is just going to gradually get better and better. One of our men struggling at home stopped him this morning and said, how are things going? He said, it's been a struggle, but we're working on it. Wonderful. That's the idea. It ain't going to drastically change overnight in most cases. Just keep following him. Just keep following him. What about it this morning? Would you go after him? Would you go after him? Now, I'm going to say this, and we're going to have the invitation. Peter, James, and John. James and John, the sons of Zebedee, sons of thunder. At this meeting in Mark chapter number 1, they didn't even know him. This was not just an invitation for service, but it was an invitation for salvation. They were going about their life as normal. They were mending their nets, getting ready to go fishing again. They were doing the things that a fisherman does. Here comes a stranger. And he said, hey, follow me. I'll make you fishers of men. Maybe that stranger has come by your way this morning. You don't know if you died right now, heaven would be your home. You know what Jesus is doing? He's giving you that invitation. Would you follow me? Hey, there's fixing to be a change in your life. But don't worry, don't worry. I'm gonna do the changing. You don't have to do a thing. Just follow me. Just follow me. I ain't never met nobody who regretted following him. Not one, not one. Met a lot of Christians who regretted stopping following him. Let's bow our heads this morning. Heads are bowed. Everybody looking around this morning. I wonder if there's one here today in the balcony. Teenagers, y'all help me. Hey, bow your head. Close your eyes, girls. Come on, help me. Help me. I'll be lying if I tell people there ain't nobody looking around and you eyeballing them. Thank you. Thank you, girls. Thank you so much. I wonder if there's somebody here today. You'd be real honest and say, preacher, I'm not 100% sure if I died right now, heaven would be my home. I would like to pray for you. I won't come to you. I won't embarrass you. If you could just slip up your hand, say, preacher, pray for me. I'm not sure. God bless you, hon. Right up there in that balcony. One of you ladies, Miss Vanessa, be ready to help her and pray with her. Help her to get that thing settled today. Is there anybody else? Preacher, pray for me. I'm not sure. If I died right now, heaven would be my home. Please pray for me. Anybody else? Stay with me just a minute. We're going to pray. Preacher, I know I'm saved. There's no doubt about it. If there's anything I do know I'm a child of God. But preacher, somewhere along the line, I stopped following him. In my heart, I know why things are the way they are. And it's simply because I stopped following him. Preacher, pray that I'd get back on the path. Pray that I'd get back in the right direction and follow the Lord. Hands all over this building. God bless your heart. God bless your heart. There was a boy in the Bible, we know him as the prodigal son. He took his inheritance, squandered it away, partying. The Bible said when he was about to eat with the hogs, he came to himself. And he said, I will arise and go unto my father. Say unto my father, I've sinned before God and in thy sight. I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. You know the story. The father didn't go to the boy. Listen to me. The father didn't go to the boy. That was the first time.
When you first came to know Christ, He comes to you. He deals with your heart. But when you walk away, you got to go back to Him. I hope that makes sense this morning. You're the one who walked away, not Him. The very first step is making up your mind, I will go back. I will arise and go back to my Father. It's a preacher, I don't know if I can do it. You can't, but He can. With Him, all things are possible. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. You know what that is? That's change. That's the kind of change we need. That's the kind of change we want. I'm going to quote you this little poem, and they're going to sing, and we're going to give you an opportunity to come and pray. Somebody has written, Lord, let me live from day to day in such a self-forgetful way that even when I kneel to pray, my prayer should be for others. Others, Lord, yes, others, let this my motto be, that I may live for others, Lord, that I may live like Thee. Oh, to be like Him, to be like Him. That was Paul's prayer for those Corinthian Christians, those that were there in Corinth, that they become like Him. That's my prayer for you, and I hope that's your prayer for me, that we just become more and more and more like Jesus. When those guys at Antioch were first called Christians, that wasn't to brag on them. All that was to say, hey, those guys remind us of that fellow they crucified, Jesus. They're Christians. Wow. I don't know about you, but I have a desire to be like Him. But it's going to take more than a desire. It's going to take some action on my part. Sis, you raised your hand right up there in the balcony and said, I don't know if I died today, heaven would be my home. I hope you'll let Miss Vanessa take that Bible she's got in her hand, tell you how to be saved. I hope you'll get that settled today. Some of you raised your hand, most of you raised your hands and said somewhere along the line, I stopped following Him. I'm no longer becoming more like Him in this thing of holiness. I'm no longer holy in my life, my labor, or my love. You said, preacher, pray for me. I'll do that. But won't you come and start and pray for yourself this morning? Maybe you need to tell your wife, sir, honey, be patient with me. I'm trying. I'm trying to get back. Pray for me. Pray with me. Father, as we come to you again this morning, thank you, God, for a good day to be in your house. Thank you for our people. Lord, thank you for those that we hadn't seen in some time. Father, it's a blessing this morning to have them here in the service. God, you saw every hand that was raised, and Father, you know every heart. And I pray in this invitation, you would have your way. Now, God, there's things in my life I'd love to change. But, Lord, I have not the power to do it. But, Lord, I'm bowing before one this morning who does. Lord, change us where we need changing. Make us more like you. Help us to remind our society of who you are and what you are, instead of making them think bad about who you are and what you are. Lord, we love you again. Have your way. Father, we'll thank you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. While they sing, if God's doing with your heart, there's others down here already praying. If God spoke to your heart this morning, why don't you come? Just go on this altar. Say, Lord, help me. Help me to change. Help me to be what I ought to be. Y'all go ahead. Just sing this morning. God, dealing with your heart, you come.
All to Jesus I surrender. All to Him. Him in His presence. Jesus, I surrender humbly at His feet.
Minutes, but God's still dealing with hearts this morning. Sure has been a blessing being in church this morning. I'm excited about tonight. We're going to baptize tonight. I don't know how many I have to baptize. If you've joined the church or you've came and asked about being baptized, if you want to do that tonight, we'll have the baptistry. I know Miss Melinda's getting baptized. I don't know if there's others. If you want to get baptized tonight, bring you a change of clothes and a towel, and we'll baptize tonight. Y'all sing a little bit more.